Reaching escape velocity in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Escape velocity reached. You are now free to move about the ship. Keep your suit on. There's no air around here.
No funny business.
You too, maybe. No.
Checking out my country.
Someone please explain to me what there's this patch in our ship?
This is Stations and Starships.
It's dark out here. As it should be. It's space, after all. It's peaceful, too, on a good day. Bobbing along, floating through an ocean of light. The stars stretching out across the astral sea. This is our galaxy, Stellacor. A lot has happened to this little cluster over the last 2,000 galactic years. Galactic years are, of course, a standard measurement of time. Developed as a common unit in the year 0 AG when the denizens of Chromia first traversed the intergalactic ley lines. These magical currents of space and time connect the very stars of Stellacor in one gigantic tidal flow. Using a newly developed technology at the time, the Arc Drive, these bygone Chromians were able to harness the magical properties of these ley lines and use them to teleport in between planetary systems. Quickly realizing that they were not alone in the universe, many alliances were born, many wars were fought, great empires rising and setting against the backdrop of the dark celestial waters. And so we find ourselves in modern times, having fallen off the precipice of Odyssey and into the shattered remnants of the Starblood and Drevexi empires. Of course, it is only natural that we dust ourselves off on Chromia Prime, where it all began. Located in the northwest quadrant of Stellacor, Chromia Prime is an ecumenopolis that is bursting at the seams. A planet that is entirely covered by urban city. Once it was at the heart of the Starblood Empire, and it remains today the seat of power for the Chromian Corporate Authority and Arctech Industries. Arguably the biggest economic center in the galaxy, many come here to find lucrative work and to gain valuable skills, all in the pursuit of self-determination. A dream that is shared amongst the many freighter and courier crews who seem to find endless opportunities for work within the Chromian star system. Much like our crew, who find themselves sitting in a drafty and musty lobby of the Department of Leyline Licensing, waiting for your number to be called. So let's go around the room. Please, anyone, popcorn it around. Describe your character and what you're doing to pass the time.
Wallace isn't actually sitting. They are at a counter. Their number has not been called, but they are kind of like banging against it with their body as they are essentially a warforged. And they're saying,
what do you mean I didn't pass? I passed 15 ships on the way here, and the instructor was utterly blown away.
What is John Eric, your character, doing to pass the time?
Marlo is sitting
down in a chair, decidedly on the outside of some row in the back. They took some time to think about where they wanted to sit, and brought with them a nice sort of pouch of natural fibers, and was just relaxing quietly, peacefully, weaving these fibers together, and sort of just glancing around and taking in the scene, pretending as if they're not really looking around, but are very sort of actively trying to observe who is here and what's going on as they wait for their number to be drawn. And Marlo is a elf, aquatic elf, sort of deep blue hue, skin tone, purplish, with long hair. It's green, kind of shimmers in the light, with some like almost like gold or yellow in there. And one nice long thick braid that almost itself looks like seaweed or algae.
Galadon, how about your character?
You see this 6 foot four, or sorry, 6 foot, someone above 6 feet. I'm short in real life, so above 6 feet is tall. I'm gonna say 6 foot seven, sort of really built like a refrigerator of a turtle, shuffling, like shuffles into the room, looks around, spots Marlo and sort of quietly paces over, and then like sits down with a decided thud and pulls out a pack of seed weed and leans over and says, "They had treats in the vending machine, you know."
You know I grow them, right? Like the one that you, yeah. I grow those.
Oh, these are better.
Oh, I bet they are.
Where's Squig?
Squig.
So Squig is a very small kobold. He's there about 2 feet tall. And before Wallace went to the counter, they instructed Squig to sit on a chair and stay there, which Squig tried very hard to do for about 5 minutes. And then after that, pretty much any time you look somewhere, Squig is doing something. They're over at the bulletin board, rearranging the flyers. They're seeing if they can sneak behind the counter. They heard about the snack machine and are trying to get their arm up inside the snack machine to use it. And are just basically just very quietly and stealthily doing whatever they feel like in the background.
Oh, there's Squeak.
Hey, want more snacks?
Oh, did you get some more seaweed treats? They are quite good.
I think I can jury rig it to just give me whatever I want. I'm pretty sure.
Nice. While you try to fiddle around with the vending machine to get some free snacks, let's cut back to Wallace. Wallace, who are you yelling at?
Some poor sap behind the counter.
What are you yelling at them about?
Wallace came in today so that they could renew their pilot's license, which is totally legitimate, and they won it very fairly about 10 years ago, and they recently got pulled over during one of their recent deliveries and was informed very, very kindly that they needed to go to the Department of Licensing to get their license renewed.
So you're arguing with someone at the counter right now about your license?
Yep.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and jump into that. Look, I've told you before, this is the Department of Leyline Licensing. We only deal with ship registration. This is not about you renewing your pilot's license. Could you please sit down with your crew and wait for your number to be called for the last time?
What number? No one was here before me. I came up first.
Okay, I'm gonna...
Look, do you see anyone lining up behind me?
Everyone's waiting for their number. Everyone picked up a number. I'm sure your pilot probably grabbed the number. Whoever was here with your crew first picked up the number. Where is your crew?
I'm like no, totally noticing what's going on and just like I'm looking
we
at
all
the
are.
Number in my hand and just like looking up at Wallace and then looking at Galadon.
I took your little test. I took the test and I did the things that he asked
okay.
me to.
Okay.
Galadon turns to Squig and is like,
"Oh, Squig, by the way, is collecting number after number out of the machine."
Just chaos. Number 68. Number 68, please, to the counter.
I look at our number. What number do we have?
Do you have number 68?
Can we roll to see if we have number 69?
Yeah,
we should. All right, someone roll a d20 on a 10 or higher. You have number 69.
Oh, okay. I'll roll it since I got it in my. Oh.
We got a 14.
Okay, yeah, you have number 69. So, 60. Number 68, you see this kind of like stocky orc comes through and bustles past you, Wallace, and is like, "Yeah, number 68 right here, just trying to get our license for Corporate Freighters International." And they're like, yes, okay, please, excuse me, sir, could you please stand back with your crew and wait for your number to be called again?
I will wait right here.
Galadon is gonna come over. I was like, oh, I guess it's my turn, you know. Hey buddy, do you want to come sit down with us?
Why?
Well, this kind orc fellow needs us to get out of the way so we can register. We're number 69, not number 68. I think that's where the confusion happened.
Did he pay more money than us?
No, that's not how.
Is that how? Why didn't we pay more than him?
Well, we can't right now.
Yeah, the person behind the counter is sort of a portly elf with a mustache that looks like, you know those like weird colonial mustaches that like go around your mutton chops and then connect in a mustache to your face. I forget what those are called.
The Portland.
Is that, yeah, the Portland mustache, exactly. It looks like a Portland hipster.
Portly Portland.
And they kind of give you a glare as a Galadon. You're kind of working with Wallace to try to keep the scene from getting too wild.
Wallace backs up and they're like,
"No funny business, the two of you."
He's like backs away backwards, step by step.
Yeah, you can see that they're seem to be pretty efficient at what they're doing. So the lobby is not that crowded. You know, it's not perhaps the most popular place to be in the Department of Licensing, because that's all they deal with is just ship licensing for them to be able to do whatever work they need to do. And sure enough, the orc tidies up their work and they start heading out the door. And the portly elf at the counter kind of looks at you, Wallace, like, "All right, here we go. Number 69, please step up to the counter. Number 69.
Before Wallace moves up to the counter too, Squig joins the group and just goes, "Wallace, I heard you needed some numbers," and just gives you a pile of number receipts collected from the machine, now empty.
yeah, Wallace holds them. Wallace is holding the numbers.
Are you holding the numbers as you walk up to the counter?
Yeah, and there's like a little trail that leaves behind
them. Yeah, the portly elf just puts their hand on their head and is muttering something about having just gotten off their lunch break and they've only got 3 hours left today. Only 3 hours left. As you all walk up to the counter, they sort of position their eyeglasses back on their face. Okay, what are we here for today? Are you pursuing a corporate registration or independent registration for your ship?
I believe independent registration. Is that right? Independent registration.
Yes, that is correct. Independent registration.
Wonderful. Well, best of luck to you, I hope. Kind of looks at Wallace a little strangely, looks at the whole crew like, "Good luck out there." Okay, well, first thing I'll need is your ship's registration number.
Who's got it?
Do you know your ship's registration number?
Oh, I'm sure it's written down somewhere.
You need a number? I have some numbers right here.
If you just know the name of your ship, that I can just look it up in the system, that's fine. What's the name of your ship?
Dorothy.
Dorothy. I see here. Dorothy, yes, medium tier courier ship. All right. Okay, let me just crunch some numbers for you all for an independent registration. They kind of tip on a little calculator that they have. Okay, so independent registration for your ship, Dorothy. Model number MCC-01, registration 256-84298-ZXY246. That runs at 90,000 coin plus the 15% tax that we are adding on for the licensing services, runs us at a total of 103,500 coin. That will be your bill upon receipt, as well as a clerical fee of 500 for a total of 104,000 coin. If you just want to,
we do have a tax exempt. I am a part of the UPPS guild.
Okay, I'm not aware of such a rule.
Oh, you're not aware.
Oh, he's not aware of it.
I see what you're trying to do. The UPPS has to do with the plan for propagation services. This is specifically for the registration of courier ships. Nothing to do with propagation. Your total is 104.
Wallace steps forward and they're towering over the person and they say...
Yeah, you let him know, Wallace.
200. Take it or leave it.
Wait, Wallace.
That is more... Wallace...
Don't let him have it, darling.
Oh, jeez.
The clerk is just staring at you, like not sure what's going on.
Like 200 coins, by the way, not 200,000.
Look, you're either gonna walk out of here with independent registration for your ship at the cost of 104,000 coin, or you're not. The choice is yours.
I'm sorry. Your name is...
My name is Belfry.
Yes, we got our first name. Belfry. As a newly licensed ship, we're a courier getting our license, and we have a gilded Azurian hydroponic garden on our ship. I am working under this license in order to serve the UPPS. I don't see how this is not where we are exempt from any sort of tax that's attached to the licensing of our ship.
Twig would like to attempt to sneak behind the counter and steal the calculator. Or take, I mean, not steal, just take it and look at it, because that's all I do.
I mean, if I need to make some kind of call or...
Okay, do it with advantage if John Eric you're helping by distracting. Go ahead and make a sleight of hand check, Squig.
Nice.
That is a dirty 20.
Oh yeah, you're fully holding up. Like his hand was on the calculator. This is no longer, he's not even sure. Like, thinks the calculator's still under their hand. Look, okay. If you're really trying to pinch pennies here, I can waive you the 500 coin that's on top of this bill. That's the best thing I can do for you all. Take it or leave it.
Would I have any sort of like knowledge of the hierarchy here and like the bureaucracy? Would Galadon know?
How long have you been working in the system?
50 years or so.
Yeah. You generally have an idea of like sort of what's going on here. You know that most couriers operate with their ships on lease within the sort of courier system on Chromia. And it is a dream to save up enough coin that you are able to purchase outright the license for your ship and just sort of begin freelancing out there in space. The other thing that they mentioned was to pursue the corporate license route, where you would get more access to bigger ships and more lucrative jobs, but you're kind of stuck within the corporate system and that whole sort of syndicate operation. What exactly are you trying to like figure out who this person's boss is or what's going on?
I think Galadon would like to see if he could finesse his way to a lower fee, like charm his way down lower.
I'm inclined to say you probably won't get very far with just either persuasion or performance checks. The only way you'd probably be able to get away with a license and not paying the full license amount is by using some sort of spell.
Got it. Okay.
Now, I do have a question for you all. How much coin do you have in your inventory? And you can check. You can all go to D&D Beyond and check to see what your coin.
Oh, okay.
So I have about 26,000 coins.
Same.
Ditto. Yes.
Oh, so if we all have 26,000 and there's five of us.
There's four of you.
Oh,
there's
four
of us. Galadon turns to Marla. It's like, Marla, who else are you counting?
You know, you got me there, Galadon. You're not great with numbers. There's...
Are you hiding someone?
No.
Are they watching us now? Wallace,
you are free to go in and out of my hydroponic garden as long as I'm in there. There's no one hiding. I've shown you multiple times already.
Marlo, I have 26,000.
I have 26,000.
I have 26,000.
Well, we all split it up evenly. We were all there. you're waving the $500, correct? Coin. Sorry, dollars.
Yeah, I'll give you a 500. I don't know what those are, but I'll give you a 500 coin credit if you'll please hurry up. Otherwise, and he kind of looks over your shoulder. 70, please step up to the counter.
Give us the total minus 500.
Tor, like, don't try it. Towards the people that are waiting.
Yes. You intimidate them.
Wallace, how much do you have?
I may or may not have 26,000 coin.
You all know you all have 26. Wallace.
We split it up evenly so that we all could carry it to the DOL together.
Oh, right. But all of our credits are on these.
Yeah, they're on little like not quite USB drives, but they're definitely on like these little, not quite credit cards, not quite USB drives, but just these devices that have, they're like wallets basically, and then they just have a certain amount.
Galadon says like, okay, everyone put your wallets on the counter.
Yeah, Squig does.
I put mine on the counter.
Wallace puts theirs down reluctantly.
Great.
How much? That's how much total.
And then Galadon will turn back to Bernard. Is that what's his name?
Belfry.
Belfry.
Bernard. We between us. We have the amount we need for the independent licensure.
Great, thank you so much. She kind of reaches over and takes the wallets off the counter, looks over, just sort of like uses his fingers and taps on the desk for no apparent reason, just tapping on nothing that's there. They just rolled a 5 on their perception check. And they kind of look over and go, hey, where's my calculator? They're looking around. They're like, oh. Hate this job. And they kind of pass over to you a wallet that's just has 500 on it.
Fantastic. Great. Thank you, Belfair.
Who's keeping this wallet?
I think Galadon should.
Yeah, I'm going to metagame and say don't give it to Wallace.
Galadon takes
the
wallet.
He's the most responsible of all of us.
No, okay, go ahead and mark off. Clear out your coin reserves on D&D Beyond.
That didn't last long.
And Galadon, make sure you have 500 left. Belfrey kind of pushes over a digital pad and is like, all right, if I can just get all four of your signatures here, you'll be independent licensed and you're free to go about your business.
I would like to see if in the time elapsed, Squig could have modified the calculator a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead and make like a either like a mechanics kit check or a tinker's toolkit check. Yeah.
Be a 12 plus. That'd be plus my proficiency if I use the mechanic or.
Yeah. So that would be plus your proficiency. And if it's a, let's see, that would be like a sleight of hand or either a sleight of hand or an intelligence check. It's fine.
The sleight of hand, that's plus 8. So.
Yeah, go ahead and do that. Yeah.
Okay.
You're getting in there into the tiny little circuitry of it and messing around with it.
All right. As we walk away, Squig puts it back on the counter for the.
Yes.
Press the plus and the equal sign at the same time. You're welcome.
They kind of look at you suspiciously. They're like, okay. And are you all walking out of the building now?
Yeah.
Yes, Squig might feel like looking to see if.
Yeah. So what? Yeah. What? They do that as you're walking out.
They attach two little prongs to the top of it. So when they press those two buttons, it turns into a taser. So it just.
You hear this like, oh, what the hell? What the hell did they do to this thing? As you're all just sort of walking out of the lobby.
I stop at the little snack dispensary, the free snack dispensary.
Yeah, and it's not free.
It's not free.
So once you all try to kind of descend upon the snack machine, Wallace just kind of shoves it. And can I roll to see if anything falls out?
Great.
Sure, yeah, maybe just do a base strength check.
I'm not about to pay for one.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see how well I roll. That's a 17.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you hit it, and certainly like three snacks kind of like pop out of there. So yeah, you get I don't know one chip bag, one seaweed bag, and a drink.
Nice.
Who gets them?
They just fall out of the.
Great.
Of the
I pick machine. Up the seaweed bag and I just open it up and I kind of turn so no one can see me and I'm just like eating one and like.
Galadon is drinking the Chromia Cola and it's like they're good, right?
Squig just opens the bag of the chips and just like pours it straight down their mouth. That's good.
Yeah, they're better than Marlowe's, right?
Very shifty eyes. I'm not that naive. Squig like looks at both and it's just like,
oh, you can be honest with me.
I don't have a good sense of taste.
That's true.
That's right, Squig. I
thankfully neither does Marlowe.
And that's
and drink some water.
Oh, by the taser calculator, I died immediately because I took the entire charge of the calculator. Just as a note.
The guy dies?
No, the calculator.
Oh, the calculator dies. Okay, yeah, okay. We're going to start this campaign off with some light murder off the bat. Okay, yeah, so yeah, you all leave the Department of Licensing. Yeah, we'll say that there's like some sort of digital receipt that you got from it as well on whatever data pads that you all carry. And you all, wow, you own your ship outright. What does that mean? You can, you can take on any jobs that you want to. You can modify the ship however you want. And the best part of all, you can fly the ship wherever the hell you want, as long as you have, you know, the fuel to do so. So you all are now on the streets of Chromia. The way that we're going to run this campaign a little bit for our listeners in the audience is we're kind of going to do a little bit of world building as we go as well. So one of the questions I'll ask is, you know, what's the first thing that you all notice when you step outside?
Galadon, you see Galadon head slowly go slightly into his shell, right? And he's like, oh, Chromia. I forget the smell every time. Every time. Just punches you in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, that sweet, stinky smell of Chromia. I know it all too well.
Yeah, it's like this mixture of like really strange aromas of like there's some sewer and industrial in there, as well as like kind of like a strange gaseous smells of like sulfur or something. It doesn't smell good.
Wallace takes in a Wallace doesn't really need to breathe, I guess, but they take in a big rattly sounding whooshing noise and say, ah, home sweet home.
I think Squig probably drove the punch buggy there, and so immediately is checking on it to make sure it didn't get jacked or anything, like nobody stole anything off of it. I think they probably have some alarms on there just in case.
Yeah, why don't you describe this vehicle to our listeners?
So the punch buggy is Squig's personal vehicle. It's a land vehicle that its primary part is basically if you took a Jetsons like hover car thing, and it was made by Jawas, like it's all just put together haphazardly. And his homunculus servant, which is a little like creature that they built to help them with their mechanic stuff, which looks like a little like pill bug, like a potato bug thing, is just sort of attached onto the side. And then there is a row of three small individual cars behind it that are kind of attached by like invisible like tractor beam type things that sort of, it's like a little train that it pulls behind it that everyone else can sit in as well. And it is all Squig sized, so it's sort of like a child's train, but everyone can fit in it if they squeeze.
If they're willing to sacrifice a bit of their dignity,
yes,
along the way.
It also goes about golf cart speed.
Yeah, so when it's fully loaded, it goes about 35 feet as its speed. I think that's like 5 feet faster than everyone can walk. So it's a little bit faster than walking on foot.
But not running?
Not by much.
yeah, unencumbered without anything attached to it, it can go, I think, up to 70. But yeah, with all you loaded on it, it's kind of just like a leisurely Disney ride, basically.
Long ash.
Wallace will walk, thanks. They also have their, they have their rifle out because they're also just spotting as we go along. Just making sure there's nothing coming out of the shadows or on any of the rooftops.
Yeah, Marlo's just looking around and taking in the scenery, a sense of like a little bit of nostalgia, but also wariness. And it just, I don't know, it just feels like a everyday street in Chromia.
Similar to me asking you all sort of what you see and what you notice. Feel free to throw it back to me at any time and just, you know, ask me what you notice too.
Yeah, it's interesting to like think about describing what I'm seeing. That's because we're all probably seeing, to have it open-ended, we're all probably seeing slightly different things in our minds, or maybe nothing at all.
That's really trippy to think about.
Wow.
But for the sake of a narrative podcast, we, you know... We're setting the scene for us to play in. But yeah, you know, this Chromian street is, it's again, Chromia is a planet. It's a city planet. It's an ecumenopolis, I think is what that's called, which means that, the whole entire city is a planet. The planet itself is kind of small. It's about maybe half the size of Earth, maybe more about like the size of Mars. But that's still pretty big. It's still pretty freaking big. And you're kind of in yeah, we'll say that you're in it's basically broken up into zones and districts, and a lot of people fly around from zones to districts pretty easily with spaceships and Pfister tech, which we haven't talked about quite yet, but there is a society of makers and mechanics that have pioneered a lot of the technology that's used here for propulsion. So a lot of spaceships flying around. It's kind of how you get in between zones. Some of the folks who, you know, are not are more ground walkers, you know, are either taking vehicles or walking around. And the city is way overpopulated. This planet is way overpopulated, and this street is just chock full of people moving along their business, you know, people hawking goods on the side of the road.
Is the Department of License, is this the only Department of Licensing on the entire planet?
No.
Two, if this is in a particular district or section of the planet, where are you imagining it?
That's what I wanted to know. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So this would be sort of it's certainly in a part of a zone that is not quite a housing zone. It's more of like a bureaucratic zone. So okay. Chromia is still the seat of power for the Chromian Corporate Authority, which is the big corporate entity that does a lot of business in the Chromian systems. Multiple planetary systems fall within the Chromian system. It is also home to a lot of industry for Arctech industries. So this is not like the shipyard zone, but there's a zone for like shipyards. There would be a zone for like really like heavy utility stuff to help power and maintain a lot of this. This is more of like a bureaucratic, there's a lot of departments of various things all around here. And what comes with them as well, there are little watering holes here and there, lunch spots, food. There's also a transit system. There is a transit system which you folks may or may not be using. A lot of it is also small shuttlecraft ferrying people around the city.
Okay, great. Squeak, where are you going?
I'm checking on the punch buggy.
Are we?
Never know. Things like this, they'll steal the. It doesn't have wheels, but they would steal the wheels off if it had it.
Well, I don't know about you all, but I feel like we just made 500 coin. So.
Is there? I'm still hungry.
Yeah, me too. And nothing makes me more hungry than standing in line at the DOL for how long has it been?
Everything makes me hungry.
To be fair, you were sitting.
Sitting and weaving.
As we're walking to whatever watering hole or restaurant the group who eats wants to go to, we probably pass by a little stall, or not a stall, a storefront or some kind of entrance for the Chromian Corporate Authority. And there is a big billboard outside of it that has the face of a chip robot, which looks strikingly like Wallace, kind of like grinning and with a big thumbs up next to some kind of inspirational capitalist message. And it's a very clean looking model, like absolutely spotless, possibly rendered, no eyebrows drawn in or anything, no battle scars, and with a sort of bright clean white light in its eyes.
Absolutely. Big old billboard says there's no brighter day than when the stars shine on Chromia. Some shit like that. It's got, we can talk about chips for a little bit. Wallace is a chip. Mechanically, chips are warforged in our D&D system. Chips are mainly used as both a working force or a military force, but it has been relatively recently in Chromium history that they have begun to have sentience. Some of them are achieving sentience, Wallace being one of them. But for the most part, yeah, they're used as sort of corporate shills or military shills.
Wow, Wallace, that one looks really different without the eyebrows. I wonder where they took them off.
They have no taste.
You know what, Wallace? I agree. I agree.
And no sense of style either. No sense
no style.
Of, no sense of self-assurance and identity.
No. They don't stand apart at all. Not like you, Wallace.
Probably no personality whatsoever.
You're one of a kind, Wallace.
As you're saying this, you see a group of chips walk by who are... They, also, canon, all chips look cute, no matter what the model is.
Oh,
they
right.
were designed to look cute and bubbly, and they all look like they're laughing and talking to each other as they all walk past you.
That is so... I'd never get used to that. It's very disturbing.
I don't know. It looks kind of cute.
Oh, yes, that's the problem, Galadon. That's what's disturbing right there.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
One time I saw one punch a hole in the side of a ship.
That was me.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, man, that was the urine job. I mean, nothing. Who wants burgers?
Me.
I want burgers.
I do. And then we should... I guess we should talk about what we're going to do next, right?
We're going to have to do something.
We're going to have to work. We're out 100,000. We're out 100,000.
104,000.
I say we get some food, sit down, and plot our course.
Well, you're from here, right?
Yeah, but you know, saying you're from Chromia is... It's a pretty lofty, for instance, I've never been to this zone. I wouldn't know south to north.
It's a big fucking planet.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, Wallace, do you have any, I don't know, way of figuring out what's around here?
There seems to be sentience imbibing on that corner. They do the thing that you like to do.
You look at the corner, the street corner, and it's you see it's like some animatronic sandwich board that clearly says Ripple Burger, and behind them is this chain sort of burger restaurant, Ripple Burger, which hey, you all wanted burgers.
Oh, Ripple Burger.
Oh yeah, they have those in the zone I grew up in. Yeah, I could do it. I could do Ripple Burgers.
As you can see, there are some humanoids in there imbibing corrosive liquids and greasing their internal workings with the flesh of semi-sentient creatures, as you like to call them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that makes it that much more appetizing. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I really use a drink.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Galadon starts going to Ripple Burger. I like milkshakes.
Yeah, you all pop into this Ripple Burger. It's bustling. You know, it's midday, so some people are taking a late lunch, and you see folks of all kinds in this shop. They're all eating fast food fast. Yeah, this is some galactic fast food. Nothing too crazy on the menu. You see some weird sort of manufactured protein malt shakes. You see some meat substance burger on the menu. There's the Ripple Burger, the Ripple Burger Jr., the Ripple Burger Triple XL. Whatever you all want to do.
Galadon gets one of the protein shakes and just finds a like, I imagine that they're filled with these, like, plastic tables things, and he, like, goes and finds one, and it, like, sits down, and it, like, crunches under him, and it, like, rips and stuff, and he's like, shoddy chromium technology again.
Squig does what Squig always does when they enter a feeding establishment, which is run around to any table they can see that might have not been bust yet and collect any leftover food and just bring it all back.
Squig, we could buy you a meal.
Well, you don't have to. You know I can eat whatever.
Oh my God.
Okay. You've got this tray just full of like different little like wrappers with like, you know, cheese stuck to them and like half eaten french fry boxes and half empty like ketchup-esque style dipping containers.
You know what? We Squig's right here. We gotta start thinking more like Squig. We just bought our ship. We don't have a lot of coin. This is gonna be our last sort of, you know, meal that we buy for a while.
Well, thank you, Carlo. Squig offers you like a quarter of a burger in like a chewed up like paper wrapper.
I meant more figuratively, Squig, that we should, you know, think more like you, not...
Okay, just eats it. Wrapper and all, probably.
Well, Willis is gonna try to pretend to be a server chip and grab some burgers from the back.
Oh my God.
Really? Okay. So you just straight up there's you know a couple of people who are working the counter. There's a server chip in the back. They all have Ripple Burger uniforms on. You do not have a Ripple Burger uniform on. Mm-hmm. And you're just walking.
I do not have a Ripple Burger uniform yet.
You're gonna ripple one of those Ripple Burger uniforms off of them.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Yeah. So you walk. Yeah. You walk behind the counter. You basically walk into the back door over by the bathrooms that leads into the kitchen. And this sort of chip cook turns around and goes,
"Hello. What is your protocol?
I am here to flip burgers.
We don't have any new hires here on the schedule.
Do I look new?
I've never seen you before.
Well, that is very sad to hear. I wish that you saw me."
They're gonna go,
Gerald!
What kind of manager are you that you don't even recognize?
I'm not a manager.
And as they're saying that, and as you're saying that, you see this sort of like, big sort of husky looking dwarf appears behind them and goes, "Hey, what are you doing back here?"
"I will be honest with you, dear friend. You see those poor fellows out in front?"
They look over and see just tons of people in the restaurant.
Well, I mean, I'm pointing at our table.
Okay, sure, yeah.
They look at
the table.
Belladonna waves at you from just across the way.
The wave I always do when Wallace goes and does something like this.
"That little one right there is starving and took those right out of the trash because those poor sods have no coin whatsoever. They lost it to that one."
They point at Marlo.
"Their gambling debt."
"Oh, not this gig again.
Are you going to let..."
Does this look like a charity?
"Look at
this. This is a Ripple Burger establishment, and I need you to go back to the main room now.
Look at this diverse, starving family right in front of all your customers because of your lack of charity."
In that moment, Sway is like, has put something that's probably too big to fit in their mouth and is doing like the reptile thing where they like...
Oh no.
Oh yeah, the dwarf kind of starts walking up to you and says, "I'm going to need you to leave right now." And they're going to start like pushing you out of the kitchen.
You're not going to let me roll for a cube?
If you want to, what are you, trying to do? Are you trying to... You tell me what you're trying to do here.
Is this a deception or persuasion?
Are you trying to persuade this person to give you free food?
Or I'm kind of or I'm trying to deceive them that these are people that need to be given free food.
If you want to roll a deception check,
I would rather roll a deception check than
you want
to
roll a deception check to try and lie to the manager of the fast food restaurant that you all are too poor to buy burgers, and so you should be given some burgers.
I mean, go far, burn fast.
Even if we are too poor to buy burgers.
But what do we lose?
Even if they are convinced that we are too poor, they're not going to want to give us.
What do we lose except our dignity?
It might if it means we'll leave.
All right.
At least it worked at the DOL.
in Wallace's mind, at least Squig already got a meal. Squig's happy, so Wallace is fine with whatever.
Galvin got a protein shake.
You go ahead and roll.
Paid for it.
Go ahead and roll. Yeah, and paid for it. Yeah, which the manager for sure saw. Go ahead and roll a deception check.
Yeah, with disadvantage. He saw Galvin.
No, I won't
buy a protein shake.
That is a 19 plus 3. That's a 22 coup, and I want to prove it to you, but you want to take the
It's okay. It's okay. Okay.
That's what D&D Beyond is for.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Exactly, it's all right.
Would you like me to re-roll this in D&D Beyond?
No, that's fine. I trust you. This dwarf manager is right up to you now because they were about to push you out. And they see Squig choking down this burger with half the wrapper as well. And they're just like,
yeah.
They kind of second guess themselves and they're like, look, if you really want some food, there's a dumpster out back. We don't usually keep it locked. Just go out there and try to scrounge what you can like everyone else who can't pay for Ripple Burger, okay?
Wallace is somehow physically manages to put a little bit of condensation out of their eye to make a single tear roll down.
Sure, there's some steam in the kitchen here, and it's on your cheeks.
I like to imagine like you look with this plastered on, like this drawn on smile, and this single tear coming down, like
angry eyebrows, single tear.
It's absolutely horrifying.
Look, I just go to the dumpster. Please don't make a scene in my restaurant. I'm not trying to get, I'm not trying to get the authorities for you. I really couldn't care less. I can't give you any free food. Like, there's cameras around here. I'm being watched. My inventory is being taken care of. But just go to the dumpster, get some free food.
I use this as an opportunity and sort of gallivant up to the manager and say, and if you ever need a source for your veggies, here's my card. We're a courier ship, newly bought and owned by the four of us, and we do deliver across the galaxy.
Yeah, they take your card. They're like, okay, yeah, sure.
As soon as they mention that there's like dumpster out back, actually, Wallace has probably already left.
Okay.
Wallace is going to the back to try to scrounge up some things.
Galadon will say, hey, that was a pretty good protein shake. What's in it? You know what? Never mind. I'll take two more. And can I have five burgers? Five cheeseburgers?
Yeah, and I'm going to take
it. He's making Wallace look like a more of an asshole.
Wig has followed Wallace out, absolutely.
I'm ordering food, too, but I'm hungry and have some coin.
Sure, why don't you mark off, I don't know, 30 coin off your 500 inventory.
30 coin, okay, gotcha. Cool, great.
It sounds like you just grabbed a bunch of stuff to go. Let's say it's to go, you got an inch-to-go bag. The manager is just rolling their eyes like, oh my God. This kind of stuff happens every day. And they're just like, God, I hate working a franchise in these districts, man.
Galadon is going to look at the manager and say, I just want to let you know that what you did was a very kind thing. And thank you so much for entertaining Wallace. Working service is very hard. And it's often underappreciated, so thank you.
Look, man, that chip's going to get you in trouble if you're not careful. Just, try not to make a scene around here again. I don't want to get fired.
Don't worry. I'll keep an eye on them, but thank you. Thank you.
Outback Squig's like, hey, give me a boost. I can just dive in there.
Yeah, Wallace absolutely like gives Squig a boost.
Absolutely.
Okay, sure. Yeah. No, let's go ahead and do, I don't know, you want to do a check for it?
Sure. We haven't established this before game, but one of my artificer infusions is to make a bag of holding, which is, I was thinking it would be like the little backpack Squig always has. So Squig would just try to
as
viable looking food as possible and probably.
Sure. So. you toss Squig ground by the scruff of the neck right into the dumpster, just landing straight up in the trash. There's like, it's trash, but there's also, you know, like other food waste around here. It's greasy, it's gross, it's kind of nasty.
Wig's idea of viable food also is probably a lot different from everyone else's, but if I rolled an investigation, then that would have been a 23, so just so much greasy, nasty
work. Yeah, you fill your bag of holding with greasy, nasty food. More than welcome to.
No.
Is there just a bunch of happy Squig sounds?
Like the dumpster's probably like half empty by the time I'm done. I'm like, all right, I'm done. I got it. Can you help me out?
Oh my.
Oh my God.
Well, take Squig out and puts them on their shoulders. So it's basically Tiny Tim and the Christmas Carol, you know, with a garbage bag full of greasy food.
I think I got enough to feed us for like a year, I bet.
That should last you for 5 trips?
Probably.
Some of us like being honest with workers.
Yeah, I like the idea of Squig's stomach just being like some bottomless, endless furnace pit of like food digestion.
Its own pocket of holding.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, you've got a stomach of holding.
You have no idea where and how much Squig poops.
Oh my God.
Where? I love that.
The only secret that Squig has.
Yeah, we'll revisit that later. Mechanically. Cool. Well, you guys scored a bag of holding full of greasy, nasty dumpster food.
Yes, first treasure.
First treasure acquired.
One may call it that, yes.
I mean, for Marlo, it's probably going to make some great compost.
Actually,
no. No, it won't. It grease no, it is won't. Not does not break down. It just goes rancid. It attracts disease. I'm That's keeping true. That away from my lab.
Would you call what you do science?
Oh, you know, Galadon, I do run experiments. They're my own experiments, just sort of a passion, you know, hobby of mine. Just some crossbreeding algae, trying to create new varieties. This is purely, is mostly aesthetic, but it's a science in a way. Yeah, I like to think of myself as a scientist, but just a, you know, a citizen scientist.
Wallace kind of whirls around with Squig on their shoulders with the bag of greasy, gross food. And they say,
well, you know what? It wasn't for you.
And they whirl back around and they keep walking.
Oh, wow.
Cute.
From the shoulder, Squig is like, back to the punch buggy!
Galadon puts a hand on Marlo's shoulder and says, don't worry. They'll eventually not think that you're a double agent for whatever they think you're a double agent for.
Yes, I'm still not quite sure how to approach Wallace on that topic, but you know, Galadon, it doesn't bother me too much.
I want to do a perception check.
Insight check.
Yeah, there we go.
But it did bother them.
Did it actually bother you?
That's a 23 on insight.
You're checking insight onto Marla?
Onto you. Yeah, onto Marla.
Did
it bother you?
Does Marla get
it? Oh, if it bothered me. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Wallace is hitting almost as if sort of twisting a little thorn in my side.
Aw.
I see. Well, I know you say it doesn't bother you, but it's okay to want to be included and accepted.
Oh, I've felt almost nothing but welcome from you all since I joined the crew. It's been quite a great warming atmosphere. I think Wallace just, you know, has their suspicions, as any chip would. They're
10 feet in front of you.
And I 10 feet behind you, Wallace. You know, you are free to hear this. And I hold no reservations against your suspicions, and until I can somehow prove it to you, I will continue to belabor that I am not a double agent of any kind. And that is the truth.
That's a lot of fancy words for a simple spy.
Yes, I suppose it is.
All right, well, back to Dottie then.
Back to Dottie.
I'm so glad you call it Dottie, because that's what I called it too.
Galadon picked it up from Squig.
Who wants to ride back?
You go ahead. I'll spot you.
You'll go ahead of me?
I'll support Wallace.
Marley, you coming?
I have to like kind of crouch down to be inside of this thing?
Basically, I think probably I have to sit kind of like this.
Can I, but I, it's open, like I can...
Yeah, it's just like an open saucer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm coming.
Yeah, you climb into this little trailer. Yeah, it's basically like sitting in a cardboard box. Like you're holding your legs up against your chest, your knees are up against your chest. But it's not particularly, like, it's comfortable because it's a hovercraft. You're not going over bumps or anything. The ride is rather smooth, albeit a little bit cramped, but you can't stretch your legs out, but it's not that bad.
We'll see you back at the ship. You want a burger, Marlo?
I have one. Yeah.
You unwrap your burger as you're sitting in the trailer. Cool. I'm gonna say that you all, you're actually not that far. There's a lot of different types of stations and pads where people can rest their ships. They're almost like almost like trailer homes or trailer parks scattered throughout the city that people can just hitch up for, just kind of crash there for a little bit as they need to. And it doesn't take you long. Let's say it's about evening time. There's a star and it rises and sets just like on Earth, for everyone who's wondering. So it's about evening time when you roll up to your ship. Ooh, this is exciting. So you enter in this sort of ship park. We'll call it a ship park. How about that? You enter this ship park. Ships here and there. You know where your ship. It's in J7. You roll on over to J7. Squig's little buggy is going about 5 feet faster than Wallace and Galadon. Well, they'll slow it down every once in a while for you to catch up. But yeah, you kind of make your way back home. There you are, standing in front of your ship.
Our ship, you guys.
Our ship.
Our ship.
My ship.
Yeah, okay. I like the sound power.
I was the one who secured that last delivery when all the bandits came by.
Oh.
I did that cool thing and spun around. I did the spin attack. That was me. I got us that payment.
You know what, that's Wallace? I think right. I slept that... through that whole thing. I don't remember.
You did sleep through that whole thing. Speaking of, Wallace,
Marlo, both of you, into the med bay. I need to check both of you out. Marlo, you shouldn't be sleeping that hard. And Wallace, my ship anatomy and physiology is a little rusty, but I do not think you should be spinning at 16.7 revolutions in the middle of battle.
Who says?
I could probably make her go faster, I bet.
Oh my god.
Yes, it should be 24 revolutions. I would be unstoppable, Squig.
Okay, fair.
Could you do that? Can we try it? Can we try it?
Hang
on, real quick. We're gonna skip what the outside. We're gonna skip what the outside of the ship looks like, because I think it would be hard for us to all agree upon what we haven't talked about it yet. But I think we can describe the inside just fine.
You all agree the outside is a junker. We agree.
Yes, there's definitely a patched up part of it, because apparently Wallace punched a hole in it. At some point in the past.
The last job.
The last job. Yeah. The spin move. Oh my god.
Can someone please explain to me why there's this new patch in our ship? Did I sleep through something?
Galadon calls it aesthetic.
I do not call it...
Mm. I believe the term for the type of ship we have is hoopty.
Oh my god.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
Oh, that's great. Oh god. You two, medbay, now.
Okay, and I like give Galadon a look, like looking, like wondering what this is all about.
Well, Wallace kind of looks down at Marlo and they're like, did you eat something bad? Are you poisoned? Do you have something wrong with you?
Are you talking to me, Wallace?
Yeah, Wallace is staring down.
I'm following Galadon in, but also like giving you a look.
Galadon whispers to Squig, we are close. It's like, I think I hid something in Marlo's hydroponic garden. If you find it in the next 30 minutes, it's yours.
Yes!
Something.
Oh my god. No idea where this is going. So yeah, let's real quick describing the inside of the ship. The first thing that you walk in and out of is a giant what's the word I'm looking for? It's a giant hangar.
Cool.
Yeah, let me just pull up the ship right here. Yeah, so you walk into a giant docking bay. This is sort of the main way in and outside of the ship. The ship does have levels to it. I'm not sure how many levels. If you want me, I'm totally prepared to describe the schematic of the ship. I've sort of done it in my mind a little bit.
Let's do it.
Okay, yeah.
Give us the cutscene.
Cutscene to like a instructional video.
The MCC-01 is a Architect Industries courier class ship.
Yeah, and then it just kind of goes into it. So what you see is this first floor is mostly taken up by this docking bay. And inside the docking bay right now is a shuttle, which is Wallace's shuttle that they have contributed to the operation. Also, you know, on the left side and the right side are basically behind the walls of this big giant docking bay are two engines with their own sort of access tunnels to those particular engines. That's what sort of propels the ship and gives it thrust in normal space. Towards the front, what is that? The bow of the ship? That's the front?
Yeah, stern is the back.
So entrance is from the stern, a big old chunk, chunk, chunk door that comes down, and you can take the ship out or you can walk out yourselves. This is also where Squig, your little buggy chills, is in this docking bay. Towards the bow, you actually get to Squig's workshop. It is part workshop, also where your arc drive is. That is a standard issue on these Architect ships, which would allow you to use the ley lines that connect these star systems in Stellacor. And so, yeah, you kind of like, that's where your workshop is, and that's all on the ground floor. You go, you take the lift up to the second floor. If we're still in the bow of the ship, that's where the pilot room is and the main computer. Sectioned off right below the pilot is the main server room for your ship's computer, your ship's AI. Also on this floor, let me just pull out my drawings real quick.
Ooh, drawings.
Yeah, also on this main floor, kind of close to where the pilot station is a section for comms and communications that happens in the same room as the piloting. If you were to move back towards the stern, there would be some hallways back there leading to the med bay. The med bay is back towards the stern of the ship on that second floor. There's probably some more room that we can shove shit around, but we'll deal with that later. Up on the third floor of the ship is where the rooms are. There along the sides of the ship are two rooms on each side, both kind of having their windows viewports out into the environment or space, wherever it is that you are. There's also a communal sort of bathroom that's up there. And then on the third floor on the stern of the ship is where your hydroponic garden is. Marlo. It also has a glass facing that lets light in.
Cool.
And I guess on the second floor, I'll also mention is a gunner station. There's a turret at the top of the ship that is just standard issue on these types of courier ships. That's not very powerful, but it can stun other ships. So it's sort of more of like a defensive weapon. So it sounds like Galadon and Marlo and Wallace are taking the lift up to the medbay.
Mm-hmm. Suspiciously, I mean, I'm going up a little bit suspicious, but I didn't really roll for anything, so I don't.
Yeah, you're kind of used to just weird,
kind of going
weird, random things happening because you know, this crew is a little, you know, it's a little left field, all sort of out there in various different ways. but I would like to give people the opportunity to describe their sort of realms on this ship. For instance, Galadon, your realm would be the med bay. I'd love you to be able to describe sort of what the med bay is.
Yeah. There's a thin layer of dust and grime on most of the ship. It's just kind of like old. But the med bay is a little weird. And it's like, there's a lot of things that look very weird. So there are two beds on either side of the med bay, which could hold about four people, is that right?
The two beds hold one person each, but the med bay itself is big enough to have four people in it at any given time.
Okay. Yeah, so the med bay is big enough to have four people in it. The two med beds are on the other side of the room. In each room, each bed has runes drawn on the floor around it. And these runes are Yiffian med runes that allow for like a magic wall of force. They'll go up to like protect people from themselves or from other folks or from diseases to be spread through the ship. I want you to imagine sort of like whereas Chromium technology is like super techy and super like mechanical. Yiffian technology is like a lot of biomedical, like bio integration, like
biomimetics,
like solar punky stuff. And so like there's a very clear, like once you enter it, there's like a very clear distinction, like that this is mostly Yiffian tech, and Galadon refuses to use Chromium tech to even. Like for medical stuff, it's just like it's just lower quality. I just don't even know how else to describe it.
You'll notice that on in between most of the, so there's a lot of like runes, crystals, biomimetic, sort of solar punky stuff. And in the middle of it, you notice that Galadon has carved out this small station that is filled with like, it looks very chromian. It fits in with the rest of the ship. And over the last year, what he has been doing is like gathering more and more pieces of information about how chips are put together, what impacts their systems, how to like make sure that they're medically okay. And it's the only chromium technology that's in the med bay itself, and is specifically done for Wallace.
Which is very sweet and all, but all Wallace said was, I could have told you that. I could tell you how I feel and what is broken.
Galadon just looks and nods. Mm-hmm.
Wow, I love this. It's great. I have such a great image in my
head. I love solar punk. I just learned about solar punk and I'm like,
oh, awesome. Oh
my gosh, yes.
I'm going to look that up right now.
You should. It's beautiful.
And so, like, it's these, like, I want you to just see, like, think of, like, if there's, it's like a lot of Art Nouveau, sort of like biomedical, like lots of curly Q stuff that's designed to look, if it's metal, gorgeous. It looks very like Art Nouveau, sort of like curly stuff. And it's the only part of the ship that looks, that and Galadon's quarters that are Yippian.
Yippian, yeah.
And the door's closed. Y'all turn and he's like, all right, you two. First of all, Marlo, you really do need to come in to get an assessment. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah, I know. My sleeping patterns are whack. I gotta work on that.
Absolutely deplorable. Yes. But Wallace.
Sometimes they sleep with their eyes open and they make a weird sound that comes out of their nose.
I do?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of humanoids have that problem.
What is Wallace doing watching?
Yeah. What is Galadon doing watching? I guess Galadon's not confirmed watching, but...
I mean, everything you know about Wallace, Wallace is definitely watching Marlo while they sleep.
Anyway, that is not why I called you. I called you here because it is coming up on the anniversary of Squid joining the crew. And we need to plan a party for him, her, them.
You're right.
I was the only one who thought about getting them a gift.
Yes, that's right. You did think about that.
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm.
You did? Y'all have been thinking about this?
I mean, Wallace kind of gestures a grease-covered hand.
The trash can of holding was Wallace's gift.
You saw how happy Squig was.
It's true. That was a really good call.
I think we all know that Squig likes me best.
That is true. They have said that multiple times.
Yeah.
I believe the last time was when you punched the hole in the side of the ship. They said, you are my favorite crew member. I'm so glad we are family.
Yes, I remember that day.
Mm-hmm. It was yesterday.
And hence why I need to work on my sleeping patterns, because I just keep missing out on the good stuff, don't I?
Yes, on the bed. Anyway, I say that we get them a kick.
Oh, a kit. A kit, a kit, or a kid. Kit?
A cake.
Cake. Oh, a cake.
It's a tradition on Yip when you've been on a crew for quite some time. Usually a year. Their species doesn't live that long, I think.
Was that a fret?
No.
They can live quite a while.
Oh, that's right. That's
Yes. They just mature very quickly.
Just as an aside from the kobold description, they can live up to 120 years, but rarely survive past 10 because they're very easy to kill.
Yeah.
You're both right.
Galadon, in other words, we have a sort of a moral
responsibility to Squig's life expectancy on this ship. What I'm saying is I'm with you. I'm with you on this celebration. A cake sounds great. Surprise? Are we doing surprise? Is that the idea? Yes. I'm surprised.
Yes, I was thinking that we could do it in the hydroponic garden.
Oh.
In fact, there is a cake hidden in the hydroponic garden right now.
I'll say they just went ahead and did it. I can't depend
well,
on you.
Well, I just keep getting more
we
surprised.
Did, well, I did come in, your eyes were open, and you were making that weird noise, which I thought was you breathing. And then I said, hey, would you like to throw a surprise party? And you didn't really respond. And then I said, okay, well, I'm going to take that as a yes. And then I hit the cake.
Galadon, you are just the sweetest, most considerate turtle I have ever met.
How many turtles have you met?
Oh, a scatterful. That's besides the point. The point here, Galadon, is this is great idea. I'm fully on board. Can't wait for Squig to. Is Squig in the garden right now?
Yeah, smash cut to the garden. Squig.
First of all, should describe it because I don't know what I'm looking for.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Okay, the hydroponic garden is always closed as to not let out a very sort of acutely kept climate, which is warm and humid. It is a tight ship in there, let me tell you. There is a process, and there are many, many different sort of stages of a array of different plant and algae species growing at different stages in their life cycles. There's on one side of the, like the hull, I guess, or the ship is, as Cooper described, is glass, which does let in natural light, but there are also columns and columns surrounding all the other walls that aren't this glass plane, that are these like drawers, and that each one has artificial light or UV light in them, with different plant species, and you can pull them out and see the plants, and there's literally thousands of these. And they're vertical columns growing up, or vertical columns of drawers of plant specimens that are being grown. So that's kind of like the nursery on the outer shell. Hanging from the ceiling are lots of different types of mosses that are also being grown and also creating kind of like microclimates for other plants that need less light, less sun. So there's kind of like a forest type ecosystem artificially created, where there's like a lower canopy where it's more shade tolerant plants are growing. And there's a few larger specimens that are growing trees that I even have in there. So, you know, this is a considerably tall room to allow for that vertical growth space that plants love so much. Mimic, plant growth on planets, but in a spaceship. And also in this room are a lot of Marlowe's side projects. So Marlowe loves one-for-one basket weaving and has all sorts of hanging baskets everywhere and full of this and that, curing plants, drying plants, little materials here and there. And there is a little lab in one corner with a microscope and other tools for dissecting and splicing. It's actually like a very like it's there's even like a nice little sitting area that one can just come to and relax and enjoy, you know, the full life atmosphere of this room.
But I just ask that you always close the door behind you and don't go snooping in any of the locked cabinets. I keep finding some of them somehow mysteriously being unlocked. I don't know how that's possible. I'm the only one with a set of keys. But please, for the sake of the plants and algae, just let me know if you want to go in.
After many repeated reminders, Quig did remember to close the door behind them. Is just scurrying all over the place, including like up into the trees and down and like underneath tables and stuff. Just doesn't know what they're looking for, but anything interesting and new, and that if they can't find it not in the locked cabinets, they will unlock the cabinets to look for them with their thieves' tools, which of course they can have proficiency. Maybe takes a break to like build a little like sandcastle type thing out of like some of your like soil substrate.
Oh, yep, definitely have that in there.
So I guess I'll roll investigation.
Yeah, no. How obvious is this cake, Galadon?
The cake is in one of the taller locked cabinets.
It's in a locked cabinet.
It's in a locked cabinet.
So yeah, so like Marla was asleep in the chair or in the sitting area, and you were like, "Oh, I'm gonna put this cake in this locked cabinet." And you took a key.
Yeah, well, even better. Like, what happened is Marla was asleep, and Galadon came in, pulled out a key that he has, opened up the lock cabinet.
Oh, you got a key too.
Closed it and locked it again, and then walked away.
Oh my god!
I want there to be some way that Wallace is also able to unlock all these keys.
Everyone's got a key.
Yeah,
he's locking these. Good. Everyone can unlock.
I don't know how. I just think it's one of you. It's actually all of you.
Oh my god! This is part of the reason why your sleep cycles are so off.
There's all these strange, yeah, all these strange shadowy figures keep entering your room with nothing
in 17 investigation check. Yeah, so let's see. Yeah, you are, you're in here and you're looking for something off. You smell something that you aren't too familiar with. It smells sweet. You know exactly where it is. It's in that top cabinet right there.
Cabinet.
You're pretty small. You're gonna have to.
Yes. Well.
Climb up it, aren't you?
Slide of hand check with your thieves' tools.
I keep forgetting to roll in D&D Beyond. This was a 19 on the day.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Wow, everyone, solid rolls so far.
So far.
Once we actually enter battle, it's all gonna be shitty.
So 19 plus 8 plus 3.
Is there, but I'm thinking that Squig, being small as they are, also has to do some sort of
sure, like, okay.
Like
you are
acrobatics or something.
I think you could probably get up there just fine, but you're kind of like using your tail to balance. You're using your tail. Oh yeah, exactly. Boom, perfect, right there. 5 on the die. You're using your tail to help you balance. The lock comes undone, and you're like, you fall off, and the cabinet hits with you? You're definitely gonna fall off.
Yeah.
Let's just have a luck check. Raw on the dice. Just roll a d20.
Went out of the thing, but it still hit the table, so it's fine. That would be a 9.
Ooh.
You fall off, and just as you kind of see what's happening, this cabinet is teetering straight towards you as well. Where's everyone else?
No.
Hopefully Wallace is nearby.
I make some sort of...
Galadon is walking. Yeah, Galadon
I'm on my way to the hydroponic garden for sure.
Can I attempt to make a save to like kick as I'm falling to keep it from falling on me?
You could try to keep it from falling on you. Just make a like an acrobatics check or an athletics check.
What do I have? Okay, we're going to go with acrobatics because my athletics is -3.
Oh, no.
A 9. Not
what?
Good enough.
Oh, no.
You guys hear this creak crash of metal in the ship.
I'm sorry, Marlo.
Ooh. What did I...
What did I lose, I wonder? I guess I'll find out.
You probably
soon.
Should have put it in the lower shelf.
Yeah, so both.
I think
Wallace
is full on sprinting in there.
I take damage from that.
Oh, no. So it actually landed on top of you. So you don't take damage at all because you landed inside of the cabinet. But you're just running around on the inside like, oh, no.
Well, is the cake in there?
Yeah, the cake's in there, yeah. The cake's all over you.
I think it probably settled down pretty fast then.
All right, we all bust into the hydroponics room right now.
If Wallace gets there first, they don't close the door behind them. they just rush in and they go to lift the cabinet.
Galadon is a little bit behind Wallace and comes and helps lift the cabinet.
I'm like walking in slowly, sort of afraid to really look and see what has happened after hearing the big crash. And so I'm sort of in denial that anything has happened. Looking up, realizing, well, not only was that a column of drawers, but that was one of the five circulating hydroponic systems themselves. So we just lost a fifth of our food. Looks like it's just there on the ground, contaminated, and
until it is fixed, you are down to 40 credits of passive income from the hydroponic garden.
You lift up the cabinet and it's just, there's like a square on the ground that was the inside of the cabinet that's just frosting, and Squig, just like a little rascal, just sitting in there covered with it.
Oh, you found the cake. Good. Happy 1 year anniversary.
Yeah, from you, Marla.
Happy 1 year anniversary, Squig.
I'm sorry I broke your thing.
Yes, Marlo bought it for you. They're quite fond of you.
Yeah, I put it up in that drawer. That's where I wanted you.
Gives your legs a giant cake covered hug.
Oh, Squig.
This was a lie. Galadon and Marlo got it for you.
And Wallace.
Yeah. No, I got you the burgers. And don't forget that.
From everybody's celebrating me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who wants some cake?
Squig, could you rig the doors to close automatically?
Oh yeah, I could probably do that. I think, Marlo, I think probably you probably need to anchor these cabinets to the wall too. I can probably help with that. You probably should have done that a while ago.
And yes, like I reminded you four times.
That's a great idea, Squig. Well, looks like I need you all as much as you need me.
And with
no.
Frosting off your leg.
It, celebrations for, you know, hey, it didn't all go wrong. I mean, Squig got their cake. Marlo, I'm sure it's probably fixable. You've got the best mechanic on Chromia on your ship anyway. Yeah. And with that, I think we can call it a night on Dottie on the ship. And I actually think that might be a perfect time to wrap up episode one.
Amazing.
Before we wrap it up, because we're going to bed in this room, could I describe my space as well?
Well, we could describe it. We could describe it just at the top of next session.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I figured me and Wallace both would be worth it.
Yeah, I think we can describe that. Because basically your workshop is your room, and Wallace, the workshop / the docking bay is your room. And then, yeah, we can describe Marlo and Galadon's room afterwards.
I mean, in Wallace's mind, this whole ship is their room.
Yeah, God, Wallace is a character.
They have every right to be wherever they want.
The ship part was so...
so good.
Oh, God.
My ship.
We could do now. Yeah, no, I think we can cut the first episode there. That is great. Thanks everyone for listening to the first episode of Stations and Starships. I thought it went so well. Thank you so much, players. You guys are great.
So good.
Everything I hoped for and more.